Okay, now we can start.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA.
If you build it, they will come. Joel, seen that movie? He's in the movie, Joe?
Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA.
In our 670 The Score studios, Jordan Malley.
Shout out to Jordan Malley.
Did Matt Peck get a signed copy of that book?
No, Matt Peck, he didn't. No. No. I'll talk to D. Rose.
Yeah, you got it. You're going to make it happen.
Matt, you will be getting your book soon.
Kick back and get ready for the best hour of your day.
Are players buying in, Jim?
Yes.
Fair enough.
And so all I was saying on this podcast, the Locked On Bulls podcast.
Locked On Bulls, 5 days a week.
Locked On Bulls starts now.
You can just see the vibe.
Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Jordan Malley. Matt Peck is out for this episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Matt and I think, are going to do mailbag probably Friday. I think we pushed it off Friday. Me and him had some scheduling conflicts over the last couple of days. That's what you're actually going to get, and I don't know how long this podcast is going to be, but you're going to get an episode today from me, and then a few hours from now, you're going to get one from Matt as well. But welcome in. Hell of a game, and I don't mean in the good way, on Monday night. I don't even know where to start. I don't even know where to start with this game. Let's start with the guys, I guess, that came back. Start with Otto Porter. Phenomenal night off the bench. Couldn't have asked for anything better. Could not have asked for anything better. I think there was one stretch in the first quarter. Otto Porter had 11 straight points. Literally brought the Bulls back from, scraping and clawing themselves out of a 20-point deficit in the first quarter, first half. So that was good to see. Really, really like to see what we see from Otto Porter Jr. Let's stay on him for a second before we talk about everything else that happened throughout this game. And we're going to walk through step by step those last 22 seconds of the game and figure out not only what the broadcast crews were thinking, but just kind of thinking back to what you guys were thinking in your minds about why Boylan called that timeout. Of course, the Bulls were the only ones to be able to give up 5 points in like a matter of 6 seconds. It's a disaster, but we'll talk about that in a minute. Let's stay on Otto Porter for a second. I'm not going to freak out by this game either. It's good to see him back, and it just, the bad thing is it starts to bring up all of those what ifs, all of those question marks, all of those wonderings. Well, what happens if this team was healthy all year? And what happens if Otto Porter wasn't 75% to start the season and then end up missing 4 months? Like, we saw him to start the season for, I think, 9 games. He didn't look like himself. He didn't look like the player that the Bulls acquired last year. He just didn't look right. And sure enough, it's because he ended up having to miss four months. So Otto Porter looked good, though. Off the bench, you're playing against, it's a smaller lineup. Dallas ran out there the other night. No Kristaps Porzingis either, so no Zach LaVine, but Otto Porter and Denzel Valentine kind of stepped into that role. So I need a sample size, and I guess I'm going to take the rest of the season to kind of make that evaluation on Otto Porter. One, he's got to stay healthy. Two, consistent production. I will buy back into the Otto Porter thing if I see consistency to the very last game of this season, to the point where it's almost unarguable talking about, well, does he fit with this team? Should we bitch and moan about him picking up his option for next year at $27 million? Consistency, health, cohesion with the rest of the guys. I think that's what I need to see ultimately, but if that doesn't work out, even if Otto Porter plays, slightly above average or maybe just around average, most people around the league know he missed 3-4 months, significant time this season, so he's not going to look 100% coming back, especially when you're only going to get, I think, the Bulls have 18, if I'm counting that correctly, no, 21 games left? Yeah, 21 games left, so that includes the one tonight as well. It could still be a trade piece. Otto Porter could definitely still be a trade piece. 1 year deal, team that's looking to kind of push themselves over the edge. Maybe wants to unload a bad contract, doesn't care about giving up a pick, or maybe a young player they drafted. Team I'm looking at is Denver, but that's for later discussion in the summer. We got to see how far Denver gets throughout the playoffs this year to see if they're the real deal. But nonetheless, Otto Porter was great. I think it's the spark of energy that a lot of those other guys in this team that have been kind of the secondary scorers when we have had offense. Without Zach, we needed him. And the other bizarre storyline, after Jim Boylan basically isolates Denzel Valentine for, what, the first half of the season, he's getting DNPs left and right. I mean, this was his first fully healthy season back and can't even see the floor for most of the season. Listen, out of nowhere, he just gets a bizarre start and ends up playing pretty decently. He started off really hot. He had 17 points. He was 7 for 15 from the field. He ended up 3 for 10 from 3. I think he ended up jacking up some threes at the end, maybe back in that fourth quarter, where ended up kind of skewing that, but he looked good for the most part. Only played 21 minutes, had 4 rebounds, 2 assists, and a block to go along with that. So I can't really dig into Denzel. Here's my theory on Denzel, and I really wanted to talk to Matt about this, is the fact that it's super bizarre. Maybe when Zach comes back, we'll see Valentine go back to DNP sort of role, or maybe he's earned enough clout with Jim Boylan over this one game that'll allow him back into the rotation. I ultimately think I'm convinced Valentine's not coming back next year. Just from everything, if you listen to him talk post-game, the attitude he has about this team has dramatically changed over, what, maybe 14 months since he got hurt. Remember last season in October when Denzel was super confident about this team, even went as far as to say that this team could make the playoffs, that was their expectation. The way he sounds now is just kind of like, I want to get through the season. I don't want to say anything stupid that's going to jeopardize my free agency. I want to have options. And who the hell knows? Maybe he does like the core group of guys there, and maybe he thinks that the Bulls are going to make a change to the coaching staff. Maybe he won't feel isolated. But regardless, I think this is a move that the Bulls are making just to kind of see what they have in Valentine. Maybe they can sign and trade him. Otherwise, this is kind of doing Denzel a favor over the next 4 or 6 weeks. And I have to see if he plays consistently. But if he does, that easily tells me this is him. This is the Bulls giving Denzel a favor to go basically showcase himself so he can go into free agency and maybe get a deal. Why do the Bulls do that? Well, they want their guy walking out the door not to badmouth the team as he leaves. Clearly frustrated. In the last, what, handful of guys have to kind of done that, leaving this Bulls team? Nego Mirotic, Jimmy Butler, Bobby Portis, Jabari Parker. All of these guys have had some sort of complaint as soon as they've left Chicago. So we'll see. That's another weird, interesting storyline to kind of keep your eye on if you're still paying attention to this Bulls team at all and you're actually watching games. All right, let's start with the timeout in the first half. I get it. I listened to Jim Boylan talk about it after, and I'll play the clip for you guys too. And Satoransky said the same thing. He took the blame on this. He didn't hear Jim Boylan call the timeout as soon as they were running up, even before Satoransky had crossed half court. That's why he called that timeout in the first half. Here's the call from 670 The Score from that timeout.
Here's Doncic with a pretty spin up and good. He just put Sato and Valentine in the blender as he's doing a lot of opponents this year. Satoransky with a backdoor cut to Archie Diacono, and Jim Boylan calls a timeout. As the play was developing, he calls a timeout. So we're going to take a break. 40,
he actually took the basket away. They scored. They called a timeout.
The Bulls did score, but they took the basket away. Okay. Called a timeout in transition.
Bill Weddington's my favorite on that. And we'll check back in with him in a minute. Bill Weddington gets progressively more angry as this game goes on, and I think baffled at one point with the 22 seconds left. Throughout the season, too, Weddington and Chuck do a great job. Stacy and Neil do an awesome job on TV, but if you're somebody who travels a lot, maybe your job makes you and forces you to drive a lot, they're an awesome listen. On the radio, broadcast, Chuck does a great job. Bill does a great job. They they poke fun at each other. It's a great broadcast. Beyond that, it's awesome. I love listening to Bill. Just you can just almost feel it. Even though I can't see them, I can hear them. I can slowly hear Bill get more and more aggravated, and it seemed like he did there. And then Chuck is just completely confused why Boylan would call a timeout and take the basket away.
And Jim Boylan calls a timeout. As the play was developing, he calls a timeout.
Oh, man. So, yeah, so the timeout was, I guess, I don't know, miscommunication between Satoransky and Jim Boylan, but nonetheless, another... Like another ill-advised timeout at a point where you took a bucket away. Which, funny enough, Doncic shot. He makes that shot at the end of the game. That bucket Boylan's timeout came from in the first half, that's the matter of the game. It's just crazy. So here's Jim Boylan talking about the timeout that he took and why he did it. I kind of gave you the explanation already, but hear it from Jim Boylan's mouth.
What happened on the timeout in the first half where like Archie had a layup and then it was a late timeout at 40?
Yeah, well, I called timeout when the ball was in the backcourt and Thomas didn't hear me.
See it.
So, yeah, that happens sometimes. Yeah.
So, whatever. Not a big deal. Just kind of funny because it's Jim Boylan and it's timeouts. And all right, let's get to the most important part of all of this. And then I've got a little praise for somebody at the back end of the episode. And then I'll be out of here. But let's walk through this. The Bulls are up 8 points. 8 points with 22.8 seconds left. Jim Boylan has two timeouts. Two. Jim Boylan decides to take a timeout. 8 points, 22 seconds. Everybody's baffled. Baffled is why you would take a timeout. They're up 8 points. I get it. Jim Boylan wants to take his timeouts no matter if he's down 25 with less than a minute left or if he's up 7, 8, 9, 12. Last year he did that. I think he did it against the Suns and maybe it was the Kings. The Suns and the Kings game, where the Bulls ended up pulling out wins in both of those, but took timeouts in both of those games the last minute of the game to quote-unquote run their victory play, to develop guys. It's a learning moment, you know, when you get your ass handed to you or the game's over, and a team that played, I think, three games in four nights, missing Kristaps Porzingis, could give a shit less if they pick up this W. But nonetheless, Jim Boylan decides to take this timeout.
Negotiating his way off the ball to the right wing to accept a pass, and he just threw it away. So Kleba commits the turnover, and that's 18 on Dallas. And we're going to have a timeout taken by Jim Boylan. 107-99 with 22 seconds left.
And I guess Jim Boylan wants to discuss the play, run something out of bounds, so he's drawing up a play for the Bulls in the huddle.
There's Bill again. I guess he wants to run a play up 8 points, pretty much have the game sealed. Dallas goes down and makes the shot. They're going to foul. You go to the free throw line. Boylan, you can take your timeout then and write up the victory play. Wait. I don't understand that. It's an ego thing, I guess. It has to be. It can't not. At this point, do we get up or down?
That's a victory play that we run at the end of games.
Yeah, we'll get to your victory play in a second. So, timeout's taken. Bulls are up 8. And then
Dallas comes away with a steal. They go left corner, Finney Smith for 3. Good. This all happened after the timeout in the 107-104 ballgame. Just like that, it's a one-possession lead for the Bulls with 15.3 seconds left.
It's unbelievable. So the Bulls are now in a one-possession game with plenty of time left. It's hilarious because after the first bucket Dallas got on the bad pass from Thomas Satoransky, Rick Carlisle immediately calls a timeout. Immediately draws up a play. Comes back, they get another steal. I think DeLon Wright gets a steal, kicks it out to Finney Smith for a 3. It's a one possession game. Jim Boylan's trying to run his victory play, and it's a one possession game. let's uh, let's listen to Neil and Stacy call this, because it's absolutely incredible. Both broadcasts just like, what in the absolute hell are you doing?
Nothing goes awry, even though there's only 22.8 left.
Unless Dallas can come up with some quick stop. I'd have to be in a 10-point flight. Yeah, really, really strong defense.
Wait, let's stop it there for a second. Notice what Neil says right there. We're 10 seconds into the clip. Don't want to make any mistakes. Don't want to let anything go awry.
Oh, and thrown away. Cleveland, a fake and a jump.
Yeah, play to the end. Play to the end.
Bounce it. Oh, got a steal. Back out. Kevin Smith. That's good. 5-point run. And Jim Boylan gets a timeout. My goodness.
Wow.
15.3 left. When you talk about a 10-point play, they were close to it.
Oh, my goodness.
They were halfway there. It's 107-104 with 15.3 left.
Wow.
As Dallas steals two passes.
Wow.
The inbounds pass out of the timeout. And then they steal the next one.
This is what we talk about, Neil, being able to play through with success. You had success all night long by cutting your mistakes down and playing defense, and then you come out here in a critical moment thinking the game's over with 22.8 seconds to go. There's a lot of time left for a team that can score.
Oh, my God, I feel so bad for Stacey King, too. He sounded so deflated there. He's like, damn it, Neil. Watch this over and over again. It's like Bill with Chuck. Oh, poor. You guys catch how many times Stacy? Well, we'll wait till the end of the play. Did you just catch how many times Stacy said, wow?
Wow. Wow. Wow.
We'll get to that. Get to that in a second. But between Stacy King and this last 22 seconds to try and wrap this game up, Stacey King had 5 wows. Neil Funk had 3 wows. There was 2 oh my goodnesses. And then there's 2 oh my goodnesses from Stacey King and then oh my goodness from Neil Funk. Neither of them could come up with any words what was going on right in front of them. I mean, Doncic almost hit that game winner. I almost wish he did. Let's walk through the rest of this clip and then I'll tell you why. So that happens. Thad Young misses a free throw, which Thad Young didn't have a great game last night. He misses a free throw. Carter misses his first free throw after he gets fouled. So Bulls are up 2 after Carter makes the second free throw. There's question whether or not you should miss the free throw, but then what happens if you miss it? It goes straight back at somebody. They run it down and they're eating an easy layup. Then you're in overtime. So it was just better that they made it. They had to go full court. And if Doncic is going to hit that at the half court, then so be it. So be it. You lost the game by calling the timeout with 22 seconds anyway. So you got what you deserved if that happened. But damn near hit that shot.
Carter, 3 bounces. The release. It is up and it is good. 109-107 Bulls, 2.6 seconds
this
left.
This is almost worse because now they have a chance to set everything up.
94 feet away, Finney Smith running in the baseline, holding and looking. Throws the ball at midcourt, down it spins. Comes up shooting midcourt. It is off the mark at the rim at the buzzer. Oh, my goodness. And the Bulls escape with a 109-107 victory. Bulls win. Bulls win. Bulls win. Wow.
Oh, my God. So if that's what you're tuning into in March Bulls basketball right now is watching the Bulls and how they can find another creative way to blow a game. That's actually, at this point, kind of meaningless. But still, it's just, it's absolutely unbelievable. Let's listen to the TV broadcast.
2.6 left. Everybody for Dallas goes to the other end of the floor. They look, they whip it to Doncic. He turns. Fire. It hit the rim and bounced away.
That was luck.
Oh, my. And that was on
the line. That was on the money.
That was on the line when he fired that. Wow.
I mean,
Bulls win it. 109 to 107.
Both broadcasts just like, what the hell just happened in the last 90 seconds of this game? There it is, complete from both the TV broadcast. Stacey King and Neil Funk just absolutely flabbergasted at the end of this game. Oh, man. So there's a part of me watching that end of the game go down the way it did, wishing that Doncic would have hit that shot. I mean, again, I don't, the impact that has, I don't know, maybe we blow up on it in sports radio and Sports Talk Live here in Chicago is talking about it. And I don't know, maybe Sports Center puts it on their not top 10 plays of the week. But other than that, maybe it gets a day or two because Doncic still hit a half quarter. So that's the more important story for national places. So yeah, Doncic, even though he was without Porzingis, didn't have all that great of a night, came back, was down 8 with 22 seconds left, brought his team back, and ended up hitting a half-court game winner to steal one against the Bulls. It's just, it's crazy. I wish they would have, there's a piece of me that wishes they would have lost that game, because then maybe Jim Boylan stops making it a point to make these timeouts. We've asked it over and over again, and I'm not gonna dive back into it because at this point it feels like we just say the same things over and over again, but we don't get a clear explanation to why he calls those timeouts. Why? What are guys learning? Students are 18 to 35 years old. What are they learning when they're getting their heads beat in by 25, or you have a game sealed up like you did the other night? What are they learning? What are you, and this victory play, there had to be another opportune time to call that. When you do that, you screw with what's actually going on the court, what players are thinking. Jim Boylan twice in this game jumps in and calls weird timeouts. I mean, he's always had a problem with the timeouts, whether it's not knowing when to call them, not having enough timeouts going into the fourth quarter. Remember the Bucks game last year? Called his last timeout with 6.5 minutes left. And I get it. He's learning on the job too, just like these young players are. But what the hell is a victory play? When you're a team that's only won 21 games, you shouldn't have a victory play. You should be lucky you won the game. Let the guys that were out there that defended stop Dallas from beating them in over the last 6 minutes of that game. Let those dudes close it out. Let them, they've got it. They're professionals. I just don't understand the timeout at the end, and it almost cost the Bulls. So can you trust the head coach that's going to call dumbass timeouts? What happens if the Bulls are actually good and competitive? And he calls a boneheaded timeout like that in a game that actually matters. That's the kind of thing I need to understand when it comes to evaluating Jim Boylan's performance. You know, if it's not about wins and losses, then what really is it about? Player relationship, I don't know, probably 50-50 at this point. There's probably some guys on that team that could care less for Jim Boylan. There's probably some guys that are still holding on and buying in, at least for the most part. And Jim Boylan's lucky. He's got young guys. So young guys that are rookies, less than 3 years in the league, for the most part are going to try more of an extended time than maybe veterans are. Veterans aren't going to put up with this. Like, look at Thaddeus Young. It took him, what, 4 months to get pissed off about his role in Chicago? All thanks to what? Maybe a combination of the front office and Jim Boylan? I don't know. But the whole victory play, listen to Jim Boylan talk about this at the end.
We had three guys in there that hadn't been in those situations before. And that's a victory play that we run at the end of games. And we've run it before.
What in the hell is a victory play?
Jimmy got a little scary at the end. What did you see that you wanted to call that timeout? And then what was Sato doing, throwing the ball?
Yeah, so I showed the last play, that play, to the team at the end of the game because I wanted them to see it and learn from it. And we had three guys in there that hadn't been in those situations before. And that's a victory play that we run at the end of games. And we've run it before. We weren't aggressive. aggressive enough. We had a timeout to use, and we could have used that timeout, and we didn't. It's just, it's a learning moment, and we'll learn from it.
Why? Why do you have a victory play? You know, I saw a tweet, and I'm not sure who tweeted this out, but the Bucks damn near have as many wins as the Bulls do in the first 3 years of this rebuild. The Bucks had in this season. Bulls are going to probably pick up, I don't know, 6-7 more wins. Probably be right around 75-77 wins under Jim Boylan in this rebuild in general. The Bucks are on pace for 70 wins. I for the life of me, for the absolute life of me, don't understand what a victory play is, and would love for somebody to ask him what that is, or maybe explain to me. Maybe I'm the dummy. But still, a team that is rebuilding and a team that is completely depleted and was supposed to not worry about wins and losses, all of a sudden has a victory play. I don't.
That's a victory play that we run at the end of games. That's a victory play that we run at the end of games.
All right. Well, the Bulls squeaked it out, but the funniest part was just going back and forth between the two broadcast teams, trying to figure out who was more confused and who was about to absolutely explode. I think we're at the point in the season where, I mean, maybe if this did matter and the Bulls were fighting for playoff chances, you would hear one of the four broadcasters go off or somebody go off, but at this point, it doesn't really matter, which sucks. But the last two things I want to get to really, real fast. Let's talk about Denzel Valentine again. Let's circle back to him real quick. I thought this was a very bizarre answer when somebody asked him about Denzel Valentine starting for the first time.
I think Denzel handled his first start of the season.
I thought he did well. I thought he came out aggressive. You know, I thought he was trying. I liked the four rebounds, you know. You know, he had a block shot. You know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
Kind of surprised, kind of thrown off, trying to sound excited, but then reels it back in. Like, the first part of his answer is,
I thought he did well. I thought he did well.
Yeah, he did well. He's the second leading scorer in your team. I don't know why it took this long for Denzel to get a start with the amount of injuries the Bulls have had, which is so bizarre. Beyond all the other storylines that are bizarre, that the sub-storylines of this Bulls rebuild that we could talk about for days, for weeks, for years, we still don't get an answer of why Denzel Valentine was in the doghouse for three quarters of the year when we waited an entire year for him to get healthy, completely reconstructed his ankle. We're still talking about a lottery pick you used on this guy. And yeah, trade deadline. Nah, we're going to see what he has, or we're just going to let him walk for nothing. I don't care if you get a lifetime supply of peanuts, get something for him if he's just going to walk by himself for nothing. Don't get nothing for him. I just felt like that was just such a weird answer from Jim Boylan, and I guess it's just a Jim Boylan answer when he says things like this.
You know, he just plays. Denzel just kind of plays, man. He just has a feel for it.
It's just... Oh, I just, so again, like I said to start the show when I was talking about Otto Porter a little bit, let's keep our eyes on Denzel Valentine for a minute and see if this was just a favor that the Bulls were doing him, or they're actually trying to see what they have in him and maybe have some legit interest in re-signing him. I can't imagine, though, he's got any interest in being here, especially if he's going to be buried on the bench and have to constantly fight back and forth with Jim Boylan to get in his good graces to actually get on the floor. So, I don't know.
You know, I thought he was trying.
Yeah, that's great. Thought he was trying. Would have been nice to see him earlier in the season, Jim.
I thought he did well.
The last thing I've got, isn't this so pathetic? The only national coverage of the Bulls that I've seen that's come from on-floor play that's not named Zach LaVine. Who do you guys think it is? Take a second to think about it. Because I heard it this morning when I was listening to a podcast. I was kind of prepping for this one, and I didn't even know they were going to talk about the Bulls, but it came up. So it had to be of recent.
I got a G League guy in there.
That's it. Adam Mokoka got some national praise and some kudos for the job he did guarding Luka Doncic pretty much all night. And oh my God, because I'm talking about this, then you guys have to hear Boylan take credit for it. And maybe he does deserve a little bit of credit because he said they schemed for him. But anyway, back to Mokoka really fast. National spotlight for about 90 seconds on the Ryan Russillo podcast on the Ringer Network, talking a little bit about this Bulls game, this bizarre Bulls game. Did throw a jab at Thaddeus Young, so if you want to go listen to that, the Russillo podcast. But gave Adam Mokoka some praise for how he was able to guard Luka Doncic. But it pretty much started and stopped there. Some good praise for a young dude, for a two-way guy trying to make his way. Totally killed him, though, on his offense. So it's going to be something Adam Mokoka is going to have to improve on. But I heard it from multiple people. And I mean, that was one of the questions that was consistently asked to the guys post game. And it seems like this Bulls team, for whatever reason, is very, very close. And maybe it's just because they're all so young. They're all close in age, so they feel like a tight-knit bond. Because even thinking back to like last year and the 2 years before that, when Cameron Payne was playing in the Windy City, when he was playing for Windy City, guys were going there and watching him. When Shaq Harrison was there, when Antonio Blakeney was dropping buckets in Hoffman Estates, guys were showing up to support him. Little things like that were happening, and guys were developing relationships with some of these guys that are fringe guys or have to work 10 times harder to just get an opportunity, maybe like Adam Mokoka just did. Adam Mokoka is going to continue to get looks. If he's a guy that can go and lock up Luka Doncic and make him have somewhat of a pedestrian night, I mean, he had 25% of his points from the line, shot 1-for-8 from three, so it was pretty solid perimeter defense from Mokoka. Again, I'm not going to get too excited about it, but it was cool to see, not to see those MVP chants a few weeks ago. I thought that was kind of embarrassing, but to see him actually lock down Luka, and maybe this can continue. I mean, over the next 15 games, why the hell not? Go throw him on their best score and see what he can do. But I thought it was cool to see that guys were giving him praise as well and were excited for his big game and talked a lot about his defense and how much work he's been putting in. But then, of course, to kind of wrap up the press conference, Jim Boylan is asked about Mokoka and whether or not they took it into account as something that they were going to use and implement, or if this was just kind of a last-minute decision.
Jim, was Mokoka and Doncic a look that you guys had discussed before the game, or was it something that just you kind of came to?
No, we've been talking about it. You know, we like the way he guards. We've been searching for another frontline defender since Chris Dunn went out. Shaq did a hell of a job on him in some stretches. And then, you know, Makoko's big and he's strong and he takes the challenge and he's learning.
The one thing that isn't in that cut, but I know for sure he said it at the end of the press conference, was he was like, you guys should give the scouting team kudos, basically, for finding Adam Mokoka. And he's like, we need guys like that. I like that guy. So, guy that's all bought in, that's defense first, that's a Jim Boylan guy, especially if he's given 110%. He's one of those grinders. Him, Archie Diacono, Shaq Harrison, all grinders. So, yeah, it was just kind of funny. And, you know, if Jim Boylan did scheme that, then good. Then I'm glad. Then I actually did something right. I'm in for that. But how much are you guys buying of that? So in conclusion, it was an absolute mess. The Bulls pull out a win. And I think Stacey and Neil are still saying wow somewhere in awe that the Bulls pulled out a win there. Oh, man. So we've got, I don't know, 5 weeks of basketball left, unfortunately. But then it'll bring up an very, very interesting offseason. I know we said it last year was a very important offseason, but if the Bulls truly are going to make some changes, this offseason's going to be the most important. They had a decent offseason last year. I had really no complaints about it. other than the fact that they got screwed and got dropped from 4 to 7 in the draft lottery, but I don't really have any complaints. They got guys that I thought were going to fill the roles. Injuries basically gave us no opportunity to see what kind of fit, what kind of mold this team could be with two veteran players. But we'll see if they stay around too, which could be another interesting thing to talk about. But I think that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Thank you so much for listening. Matt, like I said, is going to drop an episode later today. We will have that up probably sometime early, late afternoon at the very, very latest. It'll be up sometime early tonight. So you're getting kind of a double dip of episodes because we didn't drop an episode yesterday. So thank you again for listening. I hope I didn't go on too crazy of a rant here. But you can follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Hit us up on our text and voicemail line, 331-979-1369. Oh, big announcement, too. I don't know if Matt has said this earlier in the week on one of his solo podcasts, but for the first time, we are going to talk with Joe Colley tomorrow. So Joe Colley will be, that episode will be out sometime mid-afternoon tomorrow. I'm very excited to talk to him. Never had him on the podcast before. I've never actually gotten a chance to speak to him, but very excited to kind of talk to him for 30, 40 minutes about this Bulls team and just ask him a bunch of Butler questions, and we'll see where it goes from there. So again, thank you guys for listening. I'm Jordan Malley. For my partner, Matt Peck, make sure you guys, again, load up that text and voicemail line for Friday. We're going to play a ton of voicemails. So 331-979-1369, the place to hit us up. For Matt Peck, I'm Jordan Malley. Bulls Nation, have a wonderful day. Matt and I will be back tomorrow with Joe Colley. Have a great rest of your day, Bulls fans. I am out of here. Deuces.
Paul Zipser, who we're high on. We've added Jaren Grant, who we talked about.
You did well. That's a victory play that we run at the end of games. It's a learning moment, and we'll learn from it.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com